not backing down from the authorities of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious people. We've seen that he said about salvation, if you were blind to your religion, then you could really see the kingdom of God. If you were a Pharisee, if you would just back off from what you say you believe and what you put your faith in, and put your faith in the one true, living, available God because He lives, if you would just put your faith in Him, then you can truly see, then you can truly have life, and you can truly have it abundantly. And as He was saying that, we're in chapter 10, as He was saying that, speaking to those people, the Jews of the day, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, keeping in your mind what He just said in the chapter just before that, He was talking to the people who had faith in something other than God. They had faith in the writings of Moses. Not that the writings of Moses were bad. They're not. But their faith was in Moses and not in the God of Moses. Their faith was in what was written down and not the God who came down to be with them. They had lost that deep relationship that God desires for humankind so much. And He said, if you climb in some other way, you think that being a child of Abraham or being a faithful follower of Moses is going to save you, you're wrong. You got to come in the right way. And of course, we know Jesus said He is that way. Amen. And so, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the potter, that means the door porter, the doorkeeper, he openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When you look at those first three or four, I'm going to read verse 4 to go along with it. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. All right, now look at what Jesus is telling to the people here. He's saying, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through me. I am the door. If you really want to enter into eternal life, if you really want to enter into a deeper understanding of who God is, you must go. You must know who Jesus Christ is. If you get this relationship between your heart and the kingdom of God in line, then all other relationships are going to work out. If you get your belief system and the God who created things properly, if you get that in line through the Word of God, you get that in line, everything else will be copacetic with you. It'll just, not that it will change any, well, it changes a lot of things, but it doesn't change circumstances. It changes the way you deal in the circumstances you're dealt with, right? That's the things that really change. And back in verse 1, he says, truthfully, truth, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in, not by the door, unto the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, he's a thief and a robber. Paul talked in 2 Corinthians, verse 11 and 13, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. He talks about false apostles coming in and Satan being transformed into ministers of light. Mm-hmm. So, if there's false teaching going on, talked about this, I should have wrote it down. Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah, turn there, Jeremiah 23, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to look into Ezekiel. Now, remember, he's talking about coming in another way, listening to somebody who's not really following or walking with God, listening to another gospel. And it was a problem way back in Jeremiah's day. It was a problem in Jesus' day, and it's a problem of our day today. And Jeremiah wrote in chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye shall have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days coming, when the Lord, that I will raise up David, raise up unto David a righteous branch, Jesus, amen. I will raise up a righteous branch, and the king shall rule over and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days, he goes on to talk about that, in his days the thing that he will be called the Lord of righteousness. In the days of Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safety. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore behold, the day is coming, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Jesus is facing a problem that Jeremiah saw. Jesus here in back in John, should have kept my finger there, shut my Bible on it. In John, where Jesus is talking about being that door, the way that you climb in, the only one, the true shepherd. Here in a moment, in the next couple verses, Jesus is going to say that there's a problem. There's a problem about the teaching of God. There's a problem about what we're following. Here he's kind of alluding to it. And in Jeremiah, he's saying that this was a problem that has been going on for a long time. And so, I got ahead in my notes, so excuse me on that. I know exactly what I did. Did y'all catch it? I started reading the Bible. I didn't pray. And so my mind's kind of scattered. Mm-hmm. Yeah, did y'all ever have that problem? Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't pray first, then all of a sudden all your stuff kind of goes sideways. Mm-hmm. So let me go to the Lord and let's see if we can get this thing squared up, okay? Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord God. I pray, Father, I ask for forgiveness for just jumping in and not even giving a thought. Father, help me to handle your word more carefully. Lord, help me to not lean so much on what I have written, but more on what you have said. Mm-hmm. Lord, I ask that you would move mighty on my heart, Father. And Lord, I thank you for helping me to catch that I just wouldn't keep driving that horse into the ditch. Lord, just help us get back on the right road, onto the right path, on the things that you would have us to know for this time. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we'll start all over again, okay? Because we didn't get that far, so far that we couldn't back up. Amen? And so Jesus, again, talking to the Jews of his day, and he says, "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And again, we just talked about that. And who he's talking to are the religious people of their day who put their faith in something other than the one true God. Often we have that problem in the Church of America, right? In our churches, in our belief systems. Often we put our faith in some other thing. You put your faith in your baptism. Baptism is not what saves you. All right, you put your faith in your religious system. Well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm this, or I'm that. Well, that doesn't really matter to God. He doesn't care what's over the name of your church. He cares how did you get in. What is the church? It's those who have been called out of darkness into his light. Those who obey the voice of the shepherd, who walk in the only right way. Again, Jesus said in John 14 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but through me. There's no other way to get into the sheepfold of God except through Jesus Christ. You think you can get there because you're the children of Abraham? You can't. That was the Jews' thought. For we're the children of Abraham. We've never been a slave to anybody. Well, that doesn't matter, because you're a slave to sin. The only one who can set you free from sin is Christ, and Christ alone. He was the one that was able to forgive sin while he was on the earth. Several times he said it in the Gospels, you know. And the Jews said, well, who can forgive sin but God? And Jesus said, well, is it easier for me to tell the crippled man to take up your bed and walk? If that'll make you feel better, hey, take up your bed and walk. Instead of saying your sins be forgiven. But he, on both accounts, he was right. Here he's telling us that we need to be careful that we don't try to get into the right relationship with God by our worldly understanding of what and who God is. We need to first focus on Christ and Christ alone. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He that entereth in, coming into the very presence, coming into the holiness, coming into a right understanding of God, starts with that being born again, that illuminating of the Spirit of God. And that potter, the doorkeeper, he's the one who opens it. Who opens your understanding of who God is that you can even enter in? The Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the one who opens that door, calls your name. He's the one that moves over you. We know that it is Father God, all right? But he sent his Holy Spirit to open up a way that we can come into the living relationship of the Most High God. Without him moving over us, unless the Father move over you, you cannot enter in. You cannot be saved unless that happens first. And so the porter, he opens the door, and the sheep hear his voice. You know that no man has ever sought after God on his own free will. God first sought him. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And he called you out of your darkness into his marvelous light. He wanted you to know him so bad that he called your name, Lance. When you were in another belief system, he said, Lance, Ryan, Curtis, Wendy, John. He called you by name. And he said, listen, I want you. And it's really interesting. When God calls somebody, they pretty much know it's God. They may not understand the full depth of it, but they know that there's this drawing us out with cords of love, bringing us into a different relationship with the Most High God. God calls us. And the sheep, the ones who are predestined to be born again, hear his voice. And you say, well, does that mean that some are not? Well, yeah, some are not, but I don't know who they are. And isn't that salvation is only for a few? It's for everybody, but only the ones who will pay attention to the call of their name. Only the ones who will, when you hear your name, your ears perk up, and you turn that way, and you follow him. Those are the ones that are going to be saved. Because I believe that God calls every human being at one time or another. That because he died for the sin of the world, he died that the lost might know him. He rose again because he was God to make a way, because there was no other way. And I know that God calls human beings because we were made in the likeness and the image of the Most High God. And he came to seek and save that which was lost. And that he poured everything he had into Christ Jesus, that Christ Jesus could die for us, that we could be living with him. And that's for all humanity. That's for everyone. If you will answer his voice. If you will hear the shepherd call you. If you will hear the Holy Spirit when he gives you direction. And there's evidence of that. If you come and go when he tells you to. If you follow him. How do you know you're saved? All right? Because I have a full confidence in my salvation with Christ. Or his salvation on me. And the reason I know that I am going to be with him, at least up until today, is when he calls me, I go. When he convicts me of sin, I repent. When I do something foolish, I confess it. Alright? When I sin, I don't try to hide it. Right? I bring it out in the open that the deeds can be exposed. And then when they can be exposed, they can be cleaned. They can be. Because when you confess your sin, he is what? faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, or we're a liar, right? Because he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Two favorite words are? But God. Amen. Got you, sister. I love you so much. I love you so much. I really do. It's good. It is good. And so, so the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He calls you by name and says, come to me. Now, what is he leading us out of? Go ahead, tell me.
Sin,
the world, absolutely. He's calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's calling us out from the lust of our flesh into the walking in the Spirit of God. He's calling us into a new life, to be born again. And those who really belong to him obey the call. He leads them. I like that he says he leads them. He doesn't drive them. He doesn't push them. He doesn't drag them. He leads them. He calls, and they just come. Have you ever seen that?
Today, at my nephew's farm, my granddaughter, Lucy, went back, but the other sheep would come.
Uh-huh.
And we're looking up, sheep didn't come. So we turn around, just, I heard somebody say, what? And you turn around, and all these sheep are at the top of the hill. They're all looking down. So I followed her. They followed her.
Yeah.
And then they saw Owen, my nephew.
Oh, yeah. And so, your nephew has a farm?
Yeah.
Sheep farm?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they saw their shepherd, right?
He was there, yep.
And they recognized him.
Yep.
And so I was going to talk about my Uncle Garland. He had cows. Didn't have a bunch of cows, but he had a few, right? So he would walk out to the corner of the field. You wouldn't see no cows anywhere. And he would go, coy, coy. And the cows would just come running up there. I don't know why you use coy, but that's what they... I could holler at the fence, coy, coy, all day long. They would never come. But he got to the fence, he'd holler out, they'd come, and he'd beat them right out of his hand, you know. And it's because that relationship, those cows knew who their master, they knew who the shepherd was. And they knew where their needs were going to be met. They knew who loved them. And that's how God wants to move on us. He wants us to have such a relationship, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he desires the best for us, knowing that he has come and he's experienced hunger and thirst and pain and heartache, just like we have. And he loves us through that. And he wants us to be that kind of flock, you know, those sheep. When he hollers, we come. When he whispers our name, we perk our ears up and we say, yes, Lord, what do you want? That's how I know I'm saved. And that's about the only real evidence that I have personally. Other folks can look at me and say, well, there's fruit we see. Look a little closer. I got some worms in my fruit. Fruit, it may be pretty on the outside, but there's some things that still need to be dealt with. Amen? And y'all might have perfect fruit. I don't know. You know, but I know I don't. My fruit's not perfect. But God. My two favorite words. And he putteth, verse 4, and he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger, again, they will not follow. And it says in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spoke unto them. Words odd, yeah. And so, this parable Jesus spoke unto them, so he's telling them about that. Nobody really understood. What do you, Tina, what do you mean? He's talking to the Jews there at the time. What do you mean? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you that I am the door of the sheep. All that have ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, wait a second. All that came before you were thieves and robbers? That's what Jesus said. That's what Jeremiah was talking about. The pastors that really didn't take care of the flock. The ones who were, Titus talks about, or Paul talks to Titus about pastors that come preaching for filthy lucre. They're just doing it for the show. Jesus talked about when you pray, go to your closet and pray in private. Don't be like the hypocrites on the corners and all that kind of stuff, making a big show. There's a lot of people that are following religious systems that are not leading them to Jesus Christ. All right? We got Jeremiah 23. You also have Ezekiel 34, which is the whole chapter, all right? So we're not going to read it all just for the sake of time, right? Because we've got to get back. But Jesus said, the word came unto me, this is Ezekiel chapter 34, about these sinful shepherds. And the word came unto me, Ezekiel, came to Ezekiel saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, and prophesy, and saying to them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool, and kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Remember what Jesus said. A lot of folks who came before me were not sent by me. They were thieves and robbers. And this is what Ezekiel is talking to. This is what the Spirit of God is telling him. The people, the priests in Ezekiel's time were not teaching God. They weren't teaching the love. In fact, they were there, like you said, they're just there to kill sheep. They're there to mess things up. The diseased you have not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which were sick, neither did you bind up that which was broken, neither have you brought again them that was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. That reminds me so much of religious systems. A religious system really doesn't care about the flock. You know, heard a story. Don't know if the story's real, but I've heard it from several people about a particular religious system that wants to know what is your yearly income, right? When you fill out you want to be a part of this body of believers, and you get all the sprinkling or all the baptism stuff and all that, and then when you come in, there's a list of things you've got to fill out, and the priest want to know certain things about how much money you make. Why does a pastor or a priest need to know how much money you make? Now, first, it's none of their business. There's a lot of Baptist preachers down south. I heard that folks weren't able even to buy their own vehicle without getting permission from the pastor to do such things. That's wrong. That's not our job. Our job is to tend to the flock. It's to bind up that which is broken. It's to gather that which has been driven away. That's what a good shepherd does. He goes and he helps those who are less. He feeds those who are hungry. He clothes those who are naked. Inside of the flock of God. You know, we don't have to go out and try to get more. God brings what he needs to come in. And those that come, we tend to those people. We love them. And that's what we're called to do. And he goes on and oh, there's so much in this chapter. Verse 10 of 34 of Ezekiel, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and they shall not be meat for them. Woo, praise God. You know, Jesus came, and remember what Jesus is talking about here in John 10, that he is the answer to the problem that was happening in the religious system in Judaism. He's the problem for the religious system in America. He's the problem, he is the problem fixer, I should say, for the religious system of America. For those who come to preach for filthy lucre, for those who say, I really don't care about the people. I won't pour my heart into them. You just give me a paycheck and I'll do what I need to do. I will download my sermons off of the internet, right? Instead of studying and finding out what God needs the people to hear and giving them that. goes on there that they dirty up the water and have the sheep drink the mud, the residue that was left. Well, that's not what we're supposed to do. And Jesus said that all that have come before him were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The ones who are really born again of God will not sit under false teaching. Amen? Mm-hmm. They will not hear it.
Yeah.
You know, they'll sit there for a little while, but then they'll say, you know, this ain't what the Bible says. Amen, Lance? Yeah, go ahead.
Can I read a scripture?
Sure you can.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 23.
Yeah.
And verse 16 and 17.
Yeah.
Talks about the false prophets of like that time.
That time, yeah.
But it still relates today. It's almost like exactly what's happening today.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, they speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace, and they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing stuff that's contradictory to Bible teaching.
Yeah.
They're saying it's okay.
Right.
But it explains in verse 12 that evil is going to come upon them, even in their
presentation. Even in their, yes.
They're not considered permanent residents.
Right. Amen. Amen. And that is the problem. And Jesus knew that was the problem. That's why he said, anybody who preaches anything else except for the shepherd, the good shepherd, again, you know, as y'all have heard me say, I am the pastor here, but I follow a shepherd. Right? I'm more like a sheepdog. Amen. I want to take myself down a notch, right? I love the sheep. I'll tend for the sheep. That's my job. God tells me what to do, and I try to direct the sheep in the path towards the shepherd because he knows how to bring them to the good flock. Oh, Psalm 23, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn to that real quick because Jesus is talking about the shepherd. And Psalm 23, he maketh me lay down, leadeth me into green pasture. See, all of those are in my head, but I don't have them in row. We all should know this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Selah. Amen. Think on that. As we follow Jesus Christ, where's he going to do us? What's he going to help us with? Says right there, he's my shepherd. I won't have to want. You know why? Because he meets my needs. Everything I need, he has. I may not have all the food I want, but I'll have all the food I need, right? I may not have all the dainties of this life, but I have a relationship with the Most High God. What's the better deal here? He makes me lay down in green pastures. As I follow Jesus Christ, he leads me to a place of rest, of stillness, of peace. As long as I'm following the shepherd, he's guiding me with his rod and his staff. And even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because he's with me. He guides us. He's the good shepherd. He's the one. And a pastor's job is to lead you to him. That's why I call myself a sheepdog. I try not to do... Any preacher should be a sheepdog more than a shepherd. All right? We have a good shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. I am him. In fact, he says, I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10. That ain't me, babe. I am the flea-bitten sheepdog. And he loves me. He takes care of me. And he gives me direction to give people direction to lead them towards him. How does the shepherd get the sheep all together in the green pasture? Well, the sheepdog runs down there and gives them The shepherd goes, he lifts the staff or gives a whistle, and the sheepdog gives direction to the sheep. That's all we got to do. And long as I have my eyes on Jesus and you have your eyes on Jesus, we're safe, we're secure. We won't be fooled by false doctrine. You know, we won't be taken out of the righteousness of God. We can be led into the peace of God. What a beautiful thing. But religious folks have a hard time grabbing onto that because they follow thieves and robbers instead of the righteous God. But that's not so of you. Not because of me, but because of him. Right? And so, anyhow, he says, I am the door, excuse me, verse 8. All that came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear. I'm back in John. I'm sorry. Back in John. And the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. If you go through Jesus Christ, what will you be? Start with S and end in 8. Saved. Amen. You will be saved. Right? You will be saved. And you're going to find pasture. You're going to find what you need in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so you'll find pasture there. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Hey, my beautiful wife, how is our abundant life?
That's
fine. It's abundant. And you know why? And it's so full, it's so rich. Indeed, my cup runneth over continually. I can't contain it all. And sometimes I get weary, but God, right? And so he says, and that can happen for all of us, as long as we don't follow the thief. The thief, he comes and he starts spreading false doctrine. He starts spreading discord among the brethren. He makes division and not union. He pulls ideas and hearts away from the shepherd and say, follow me, I'm a new doctrine. Follow me. Follow my religious system. And that draws the weak, the non-attentive to the shepherd. It draws them away. They are indeed those wolves in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep, they sound like sheep, but really inwardly they're ravenous wolves. And they're there to tear the flock apart. That's what the thief does. He comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. But if you follow Jesus, you will have an abundant life. Amen. And I mean, hey Joshua, how abundant is it? Pretty full, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is full. I am, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Then he talks about other sheep that he has, but look at what he's talking about here. You want to know confidence in Christ? That's the word. It's confidence in Christ. He is that good shepherd. He's the one that will meet you there. A hireling, because of a virus, will shut down the church. I can't say it any other way. Right? A hireling, because of Second World War, will shut down the church. Will shut down the building where the church gathers. That doesn't shut down the church, because even in World War II, World War I, even in Afghanistan, the church is still meeting. Their building is burnt down, but the church is still meeting. That church still has a shepherd, right? Jesus Christ. They still have the porter, the one who opens the door, the Holy Spirit who leads them in and out, who gives them direction, who gives them peace. They may not have all the dainties of this life, but one thing they do have is a real relationship with the Most High God. That's what you need to strive for. And it's a personal relationship. And the cool thing about it, when I'm in a right relationship with God, you're in a right relationship with God, that brings fellowship with one another. Mm-hmm. Right? That's, did y'all ever have those clackers when you were kids? I mean, some of y'all are probably too young because they outbought them because they're clackers. They're two hard plastic balls on a string. And you see click, 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 and you can, the good ones make them click up and down like that. Anyhow, that's what God does to us. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, on the end of the string, and He brings us together, right? And we make a noise, and we celebrate, and we do things for the glory of the Most High God. And when we're in line with Him, we always make the right contacts. But if you get it out of line, then it twists around each other, and it really doesn't do any good. Some of you younger guys have probably never played with those. Y'all didn't even have yards. Y'all know what a yard is? It's a long dart.
Dart.
Dart. Dart. Dart. Dart. A yard. Dart. So, anyhow, they outlined those too, you know. They outlined bikes without helmets. I don't know why. Crazy stuff. My brother.
I had a ball and cup, but it got boring after like 2-3 minutes.
Oh, not a ball and cup. These are two balls on a string.
I know. Right. You swing it and you catch it in the
Yeah. Uh huh.
I don't know how long I can keep you entertained for though. I see what you're saying though. It, like the motion is harmonious.
Yes, it's harmonious. There's the word. Not yet harmonious. When we're in a right relationship with God, we're harmonious. Harmonious?
Harmonious.
We're like clackers together. We have harmony, sweet harmony. And we must be following the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. And I am know my sheep and I'm known by mine. Again, that relationship with God, that relationship with Jesus, knowing Him and being known by Him, there's a proof there that I can't tell if you are and you really can't tell if I am, except for our fellowship together, the way we love one another. How will we know we're Christians? By the way we love one another, right? But God knows who are His. Even before they're born, He knows who are His. He knows that the ones that are going to hold on to the very end. He knows them. Just like the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. We'll stop here in just two more verses. Three more verses. 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And that's us guys. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Praise God. There's coming a day that the Jews and the Gentiles will be all under the same banner of Christ Jesus. There's coming a real reunion day. It isn't here yet. There's coming a day when the real believers that belong to the Catholic Church and the real believers that belong to the Presbyterian Church and the real believers that belong to the JWs, right? And I think there are some. There's some who really, they're Mormons. They really believe in the one true God. I don't believe in their teaching. That's not what I'm saying. But I think God has a remnant in every class and group of people. There's coming a day that we're all going to be together. We are the ones who really belong to Jesus Christ. The ones who really trust Him. The one true risen Savior. You might be caught in a, brought up in a religious system and have a right relationship with God and just can't leave the religious system. I know a lot of Catholics that are that way. I know Catholics that are, as best I can tell, absolutely born again believers in Jesus Christ. Right? But they go to a Catholic church. You know, tradition. I know some Jews. All right? Absolutely, 100% Jewish, hold to the Jewish religion, but they believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they still go to the Jewish synagogue. Just because they go to the synagogue doesn't mean they aren't Christian. Just because you go to a Catholic church doesn't mean that you aren't a Christian. If you follow what the Bible says and not necessarily what the religious system says, sometimes you're just caught into that thing. I'm not trying to draw people away or make you think something different, because you've got to have, you must be a follower of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. What I think Jesus is saying here is that it's not your religion that makes a difference, it's your relationship with the Most High God. Right?
Yeah.
I know some folks who go to a Baptist church that probably ain't saved at all. Amen. A lot of them. And that goes along, you can put the name over the building, any name you want to use. We know Muslims are hearing of Muslims that are coming to Christ by the drones. They're saved. They don't pray like we do. They don't read the King James Bible like we do. But they're born again. They trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they'll die for it. Shucks, most folks in America won't even live for it. For Him. But anyhow, let me jump off that. Verse 17, therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. And there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil, and he is mad. Why hear ye him? And others say, these are not words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Anytime the truth of God's word comes out, it causes a division. It really does. The ones who will believe, and those who will not believe, will not believe. But the word of God does not change. Right? He said, I'm going to lay my life down and I'm going to take it up again. That was a prophecy, of course, about his death and his resurrection. Up until that time, and even since that time, nobody has ever raised themselves from the dead. Everybody who died is in the ground. Buddha is in the ground. Muhammad is in the ground. You name your religious leader, Gandhi, he's in the ground. You can find his bones and skeletal remains. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He laid down his life and took it again. Why? Because he was God manifested in the flesh. He's the good shepherd. He knows how to take care of his sheep. He knows how to lead us in. He knows how to lead us out. He knows how to protect us. He knows how to lay us down by the still waters and give us green pasture to eat. He knows what's best for us. All we have to do is what Jesus did. What the Father said, do. Love God. Love the brother. Right? Love each other. That's, you do those two commandments right there, you fulfill the fullness of the law. You fulfill the fullness of the prophets. You have reached out of who you are into who He wants you to be, and you have become part of a larger thing. Welcome to the flock. Amen? Welcome to the fold. Anyhow, we'll pick up in verse 19, verse 22 next week. Who wants to close the prayer?
Dear gracious Lord and Father, I just want to thank you for this evening, this time of learning your words, Father God, the words of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just... We ask you to help us to stay in the fold, Father.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
So we may be able to enter in and out, as you say, greener pastures. Father God, we just love you. We ask for your blessing. We ask that you would take